maybe 1 Thessalonians 4 could be more of the whole of the second reading kind of theme, but the letter A on the outline would take us to what effect this has on us as we anticipate it. For example, 1 John, the effect is it's a purifying effect. And in the other passages, it's, you know, it teaches us patience in Romans. And there's various effects. And there's more than this. This is just a few to give us a start. And so may the Lord really help us. It should have an effect as we anticipate this. And then the second half, we can take up the actual effect that will take place, the actual things that will take place.
The first part would be what faith should have on us.
Yeah, as we anticipate this is coming.
So we begin with just to lead off to help the brethren. Our hope is in a person, 1 John 3. Its wondrous moral effect, spiritual effect upon us present as we move in this scene.
I was thinking that one of the effects predominantly that this should have upon us is the thought that comes out in John 14. Where he says, where I am, there ye may be also. To know that he has desires for us, that we are with him, that we should be with him where he is. To think that he has such an interest in us, that he wants us to share in the same delight that the Father shares in relation to him, he would want to have us there, I think, should have a real soothing effect upon our hearts.
We know from that chapter also that the Lord has gone on ahead to prepare a place for us, hasn't he? And that place is guaranteed more than any other guarantee you could have here on earth. Sometimes we buy products and there's a warranty on it. Well, it's only as good as those words that are written there and the men that wrote them. But here we have the Lord himself making that precious promise. He wanted us to be where he is. And as we read in 1 John 3, verse 3, we're not only going to see him as he is, but we're going to be like him. And that should stir our hearts, shouldn't it? To greater service while we're still here. Our desire is to please him, to know him and to follow him and to wait for him from heaven. Now, our waiting may be short, it may be long. As has been said, it could be at any moment. There is nothing that still has to take place. There are many who falsely believe that certain events have to occur here on earth. No, there's nothing that has to occur except just one thing. The last soul has not yet been saved. When the last soul is saved, the Lord will return, and he has that knowledge. So while waiting for him, we should be encouraged to serve him and also to be prepared for departure at any moment. I think I mentioned earlier this morning that often we are so involved with the things of this world that we don't think of the Lord's coming. But suppose he came in 5 or 10 minutes from now. Would I have to say, well, Lord, I neglected to do this and I neglected to do that? No, no. We don't want to be in that position. We want to be ready at any moment to be where he is, to be like him, and to be for all eternity where he is. You know, there's nothing more wonderful than to think of eternity with the Lord Jesus. Like him, praising him, worshiping him. This is the future. And it is so wonderful. It is far more wonderful than any future that any of us could have here on this earth. There just isn't any future here. But with him, there is all the glory and all the future. So let us remember, he is coming. He's coming soon. We don't know the exact moment. Some try to predict it. It cannot be predicted. Only the Father knows, but he is coming. So that should rejoice our hearts.
One thing is that, you know, the good thing is that in this world, and you have to be very honest, defining this world, there are so many things. We earlier on, we speak about the computers and many things in this world. was leave to us who would want to be in this world. Or like we have in John 14, where he's gone to prepare a place for us. And he is the one who wants us to be with him. And it's a wonderful thing to know. And, you know, everything is through him, through the Lord Jesus. And that's the real beauty about it, because there is really no good thing in us.
So we have presently that we are living with the knowledge that the Father has lavished or given his love to us. Currently, we are the children of God. The world doesn't know that we are moving about in this world with them as children of God. It says it knew him not. It knows us not. The world does not know. But it's a wonderful thing that the Father, who loved us first and we respond in love, has a desire that we should dwell in his heart. And I think what the Lord Jesus was communicating to us was what was in the heart of the Father. He wanted us to know that in the Father's house there were many abodes. If it were not so, he would have told them. The Father wants us there. You know, Abraham wanted Rebekah to be with Isaac. It's a wonderful thing. And though we're not just talking about the church only here presently, we're talking about the heavenly company. But the wondrous effect is the link for us, our hope is in a person. And that in itself purifies us. As I think, is it a question of us being exercised? I'm asking the question now. Is it a question of us being exercised? He that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure.
There's no question that there is the responsibility of the individual in 1 John chapter 3. It is different from what God has in mind, or the position, as far as God is concerned, we're pure. But there is, as far as the practical living, brethren, he purifies himself. So I'm going to take it in that order, if we can approach it that way. So the effect on us is really the Spirit of God has this before him. That it's not a matter of purifying yourself. Okay, so everybody has different standard of purification. The Jews had the purification. They had 6 pots for purification as far as John 2 is concerned. But it was their own kind or their own way of purification. The purifying of the believer to keep all things pure or purifies himself, the Spirit of God has a standard as he is pure. So that what the Spirit of God has in mind, that the effect of his coming on me might be that there will be the life of the Lord Jesus Christ will be reproduced, will be seen in the life of the believer. And what is the standard? There is no other standard in the Scripture other than the standard of Christ himself. And brethren, we have to come out of this mentality, well, you cannot compare me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, no one can be compared to him, but I dare to say that the Spirit of God, when he exhorts us to do something in the same measure that Christ did it, you can rest assured he's not asking us to do something we're not capable of. We have the Spirit of God that will help us to purify ourselves, and the measure of it, or like who, as he is pure. And may the Lord help us to do all things and to keep ourselves pure, especially in these last and closing days.
I think we have that the word hope comes in here when we think of the Lord's coming. And, you know, Old Testament saints, they were hoping for that time when Messiah would come. And now we have an anticipation. We hope for looking for that blessed hope. So it's a blessed hope. That's something that should cheer our hearts. As I think Brother David was bringing that out, John 14. It's something we look forward to. That's blessed. You know, that's a happy hope. And yet in 1 John 3, it's a purifying hope. In Romans 8, it's a patient hope. And so we have the character of the hope that we have has a direct impact upon our lives in the way we live. You know, we can say we're Christians. Well, that's fine. But the evidence of the reality of it comes out in what that hope does in our lives. If there's not a change in our lives, if we're not living as if his footfall, as it were, can come this moment, then there's something wrong. We're out of touch with the Lord in a practical way. But if these things are engaged in our practical experience, if we're really looking for that blessed hope, I think looking has the idea of being engaged in what you do. If someone says, look at that sign, well, if you're looking over here, well, you might be taken to task for that. You're not really engaged in what you're supposed to be doing. So we need to really be engaged with Christ in an earnest spiritual look and not turning to the right or to the left, but focused on Him. I think this is where we see the effects coming in our lives.
Yes, sir.